With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Jay here from Stretford Paddock. This is Howson's Brew without Howson. And I've already noticed there's a few comments in here. But don't worry, we'll get to that in a minute. We've got Abdullah with me. You all right, bro?
Yeah, it's good to be back.
Yeah, it's good to be here. Yeah. I know, look, well, like, don't see you for like 18 months and all of a sudden, can't get rid of you. And on the other side of the spectrum, I see Steve every day and all of a sudden I can't do a video with him. He will be back. He's having a bit of a breather from this channel. He's doing all his other stuff as well, Mr. Howson. So you can go and check him out on his Real Ferdinand stuff with his own channel as well and with the Paddock FC stuff that he's doing. And we'll have him back on it later on. But yeah, just having a bit of a sabbatical. Abdullah, you are with us and we're going to be talking about your favourite topic, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. He's had a lot of stick, but it's like, it seems to be that more people are getting convinced that he's the right man for the job. Whereas in the past, there's still doubters, but in the past there's been a lot of doubters, or it's been a bit more divided, I feel, especially towards the end of last season when we did end that Europa League game and obviously finished empty-handed. But this season, I know it's only one game in, but the fact we've got a couple of signings, people just seem to, the fact he's kept Paul Pogba happy, does seem to have impressed a lot of people. Before we get into that, this is obviously live. Get involved in the comments. Let us know what you think about any of the topics we're going to discuss. And if you're not doing, subscribe as well. We're almost at 600,000 subscribers for the channel. Been on 500,000 for about 2 years. So get to that 600,000 would be fantastic. It's going to happen soon. Let's make it happen now. Come on, get involved. With Ollie, you've always been a big sort of supporter of him as manager. Do you feel like more people are getting there? Do you feel like he is the sort of convincing some of the doubters? I mean, I know it's a bit difficult to say because we're only one game in, but in terms of the way he's assembling his squad, the sort of the fact that, as I said, Paul Pogba seems happy, he's getting the best out of Mason Greenwood and things like that. Do you think we are getting there with Ole, or do you think there is still a big question mark, especially when it comes to trophies because he hasn't won one yet?
I think I've personally questioned Ollie, and I like him. Like, I think what he's done so far at the club sort of just settled everything down a little bit. There is improvement season by season. I think the last time I would have really questioned him was in the Champions League. I think it was around the Istanbul period, and there was another Premier League game around that. And I felt what I felt at the time was, I remember mentioning it online and on Twitter, was you buy players, world class players, to back Ollie, because he's done it in the big games. Like, he's beaten Pep, he's beaten, you know, PSG on many occasions. So he's done all of this stuff before, and you know, he's faced against Chelsea, he's had decent games against Jurgen Klopp. So he clearly knows what he's doing at that level.
Yeah.
So, and I think when it comes to those teams lower in the league where they might sit back, I think there isn't enough sequences on the pitch to break teams down. And I've seen improvements of that gradually over the seasons with Ollie. But I felt like you're at that perfect spot where you've just got to back in with world-class players because, you know, mentally the players seem to, you know, really enjoy being under him. Like, it's so different to Jose. And obviously there's fans that like Jose, like United fans that like the way he, you know, managed Manchester United. But I felt like he understands the current era, you know, and how things need to be with sort of the modern footballer. And I think it's a perfect match currently for United. It's just with Ollie, it's about taking it to the next level. You know, last season we made it to the final. This season, you've got to go and win a trophy. You know, like I said, I like Ollie, but you've got to go win a trophy with the quality you've got. And I think you've got a challenge for a title. And I think United are in a good place for that. You know, you've got players that will fight for the shirt, which is important. No matter how, you know, nice a team looks on paper, you've got to have those players in the team as well. And I think United, when you look across the pitch, you really see that balance. You know, you go from Maguire into midfield, you have your McTominays, and you have, you know, those high energy players in Bruno Fernandes, but can also produce goals and assists. And I think when you look across the pitch, there's players that will fight with the shirt and are some of the best players in those positions. So it's exciting times for United fans. And I think this is the time, this season, this is Ollie's season. This is, everything's about Ollie for me this season. Like,
yeah.
When those big games come back around, can he replicate what he's done in the past? But as well as that, go when we face those teams lower in the table, we shouldn't be having an issue. Starting off with this weekend, Southampton, we should be sweeping them. Shouldn't be a problem at all. You know, if we catch an injury or two now, we're stacked. You know, you got Marcus Rashford coming back, is it October, whatever.
Yeah.
Paul Pogba starting left wing now. When he comes back, that adds, you got extra depth, you got players challenging each other in the team. So yeah, it's exciting times for United fans. Like, I'm buzzing, and there's no one better to win a title with than, if you look across our squad, you know, you've got players that have come through our academy, you know, and Paul Pogba's, Marcus Rashford's, and then you've got a manager who's won the Champions League for Manchester United in 99 in the way that he did, you know, one of the legends at the club. So I think United are in a very good place, and it's just about Ollie making sure, really, really go for a title challenge where by the end of it, even if you've not won it, you feel like we can, you know, we can add an extra player and then be that team in the league. And I think the Champions League's one as well. Like, I want to see us in the semi-final of the Champions League, because the best teams in Europe right now for me, bar PSG, are the English teams.
Yeah.
So I want to see us in that semi-final. We've got to be in that semi-final.
You look at it, and you look where Chelsea finished in the league and where we finished, and they won it. Yeah. You know, there's no reason why we couldn't have done a lot better. You mentioned the Istanbul game, which I've kind of put out of my mind. I'm being honest with you, but we beat PSG. We hammered Leipzig. We did the hard work.
Yeah.
It was almost impossible not to qualify once we got those results. And yet we managed it with, to be honest with you, that Istanbul game is the one that stands out because they were so poor. They nearly got relegated.
They were awful.
Well, the bottom of the Turkish league. No disrespect to that league, but come on, you're not.
It's weird because, like, when I was there when
Manchester United out of the Champions
United
League
are playing, like, I was there when United are playing, and I remember speaking, like, I was watching the game, and then I was speaking, like, English to this guy, just like, where are you from and all this, from Manchester. He was like, I don't know how we beat. He's like, we're playing awful in the league, like, we're in the bottom 10.
My mate Demba Ba looked like he's about 19 years old.
And it's the fact it took us, we had that 45 minutes to break that team. Obviously, I don't want to be, like, negative and all this.
Yeah, I don't want to dwell on it too much, but it was a big part of our season.
What's important is that that stuff doesn't happen again, is that we're consistently, because it feels like you have these random dips that will kill the team for a bit, like, a week or so. But what Ollie's done so well is that you snap straight back into it, and you can because of, I think that's because of the whole, you know, the squad, everyone getting along, you can see that. So when things go, when you get a bad result, the players will fight for the shit, and they believe in the project. Clearly, you know, when players have spoken, you've seen Marcus Rashford after the Villarreal game, they do believe in what Ollie's trying to do. Paul Pogba, there's a lot of questions about his future. People in and around the club, or when, you know, we've seen in the Athletic and stuff like that, everything's about him working hard. He's liking what Ollie's trying to do. And it's a perfect match right now with the players, with the manager. And to make sure we don't fall back into those traps next season, I think it's just developing more in terms of the tactical side of the game. You know, we can't just set up the same way every time. You've got to have that sort of surprise element where you're turning up and then teams will expect you to play a certain way and you'll set up a different way and you'll beat them. So yeah, I think overall I'm pretty happy with Ollie, and I can see us winning a trophy this season and going far on all fronts, to be honest.
You made a lot of good points there. What I liked is what you said about snapping out of it under Ollie. I think that was one of Mourinho's problems, is, you remember, you go back to the Sevilla game, I don't think he was ever the same after that. I think that, for me, was a massive turning point for Jose Mourinho, Manchester United. To lose to Sevilla the way we did, go out of the Champions League, is one thing. But for them, the managers to sort of say, well, we weren't going to win it anyway. He lost a lot of the fans then. He did. It felt like a bit of a sea change where you're like, what? What's he on about? I mean, this is a season as well. Don't forget, the Scousers went to the final. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? And it's like, they finished below us in the league, but you're acting like, well, we wouldn't have won it. And, you know, you want to be in these competitions thinking that you've got a chance. And just sort of going out with a whimper to Sevilla you know, drawing away from home and getting done at home, and then coming out and saying that. I don't know, something
it's
seems
weird
to change.
Because like, a lot of people...
Because I used to like Josie as well, but I used to that's like when Josie I started well. Questioning him a little bit more.
It's weird because growing up, I just loved watching his Inter Milan team. Like Chelsea, again, you got to admire that team that he had.
Very effective manager.
Such an effective manager. And the things he's done on the big stage, undoubtedly. But I think a lot of his supporters that, for some reason, still cling on to him from the United fans, they seem to spread this whole thing about he's a winner, this and that. But when after... At the end of the season, it was about, well, we finished in second place. That's you can't make those statements. Whereas Ollie will go, there's still room to improve. I think we're happy with our progress. That's not used. That shows for me that you really believe in the project, and you're not just sat there moaning. Once in a while, you're throwing Pogba out the team, or you're throwing this guy, and it's just Ollie's managed all these issues with, for example, Alexis Sanchez, with Chris Smalling, all these players that have left the club. And with Jesse Lingard, the uncertainty with him, with the West Ham thing, all of that has been dealt with way better than under Jose Mourinho. And anyone who denies that is just weird, because we've seen how toxic it can get at United. We've seen how the fans can be, how Jose can be. And I think, like, again, it's just I've seen clear progress under Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. And I think some people who just don't want him to succeed or whatever, or have this like level of agenda, are just sort of just waiting for United to collapse, which is weird. And I think at the end of the season, we'll pick up a big trophy. I believe this is the year United can do it.
Get involved in the comments, everyone. There was a comment there, I think. There's a weird one from Aditya. Says, do you think that Ollie's job will be safe, even if he just finishes top four without any trophies or some kind of title challenge? Do you think the Glazers will go, we've got Champions League football again, we're all right, we're happy? He's bringing in that revenue. You know, it's his third season on the trot, getting us into the Champions League. If we just get top four, we can live without a trophy. I'm talking by the Glazers now, not necessarily fans, because the Glazers ultimately will make this decision. Do you think that he will be okay with that? Do you think that they'll say, okay, we'll
I think he'll stay. I think if he finishes top four again, Ollie will stay.
Yeah.
I think simply because of the fact as well, even outside just the owners and looking from outside, we're speaking about how it's going to be English teams in it for the Champions League, like towards the end. Like,
this is the time, you know. So don't get it twisted, right? This is the time to go for the Champions League. In my life, right, and probably in yours too, I can't remember a time when so many of Europe's top clubs were just well off the pace.
Yeah, I agree. Like, this is the first time, honestly.
You've always had a strong, very strong Barcelona team, a very strong Real Madrid team, a very strong Juve team. Then you've had another sort of dark horse that are very strong, like maybe that's an Atletico, or it might be a Lazio or whoever.
Dortmund,
yeah, good shout. Or, you know, Bayern Munich have always been very strong. Now, some of these teams have still got a lot of good players, but probably the top sort of, in terms of quality, of the top five teams in the world now, probably at least three of them come from England.
Yeah, minimum. I think if you're looking at squad quality, you know, the funds that these teams have got behind them, I think it's top four English teams that everyone's debating about who's going to win the league, and then it's going to be a PSG or someone's in there. And for me, man, like, again, it's with the whole finishing top four thing, if, for example, we finish inside the top four, I think we're still going to be at a point where we would have challenged. I think this is going to be this. We say this every season, like, oh, this season, oh, everyone's going to challenge. But I think in terms of the circumstances, you've got Pep, who's been there for a long time now at Man City. Great coach. They keep adding quality. They've added Jack Grealish in there. They're always going to be up there. Even with their downs like last week, you'd expect them to hammer Norwich this weekend and then just go on a run. Liverpool, you got Jurgen Klopp, good tactician. You still got consistent goal scorers and Mohamed Salah. You got Sadio Mane, Jota. Like, Firmino, those players can all have their moments alongside him. You got Virgil van Dijk back. He might not be the same player, but you've also got the experience, Henderson, Firmino in midfield. You got Liverpool to worry. Then you got United, who, again, Bruno over the last couple of seasons, really hungry to win. Paul Pogba, hungry to prove a point. You got younger players, Marcus Rashford, Jadon Sancho. When you look at those squads, there is this season, I can see just like them top four teams dominating the league in the sense where I don't really see them dropping many points against the lower team. It's all about the big games. And that's why I said, can Ollie replicate what he did in the last couple of years against the bigger sides when we've turned up at the Etihad and turned City over? Like, we've hammered their goal in the first 45 minutes, if you remember the last the last time we had fans in the Etihad.
Was it the one where the Marcus penalty?
Marcus penalty and Martial's
goal as
so,
well.
if you look back, if you look at that game, you look at a couple of other big games where Ollie's like got it spot on tactically, and United in transition are so good. And I think if you can replicate that this season, I think United could become the favourites. Like, we'll see it mid-season. It's just about United is ironing out the thing where we're falling off against these lower teams. Southampton this weekend, you got to slap them up. Weekend after.
Slap them up. That's it, man.
That should be Ollie's team talk.
Go out there, just slap them up, yeah? Forget about all the tactics and all the analysis and all that nonsense. Just go out there and slap them up, yeah?
I think that's enough for Bruno and Pogba to know what they're doing. Anyway.
I think they do that anyway, yeah. Do you know what I mean? To be honest with you. This podcast is sponsored. It's a sponsored podcast by our friends at Manscaped. And now they've just launched, Abdullah, their fourth generation performance package. Eh? And I'm telling you, it is a performance package. Believe me, we've been testing it out, not in front of everyone, but I've took it home. And, you know, like to keep Mrs. J. Motti happy by keeping myself, you know, tidy down there. So we've had a performance package from Manscaped. Big thanks to them. And it's got the 4.0 lawnmower technology. Forget your 1.0 and your 2.0 and all that nonsense, yeah? 3.0, don't even get out of bed for that anymore, mate. 4.0, lawnmower technology. Because, Abdullah, you look like a well-groomed man facially. I don't know how you get on down there. We've never got that, that close. But, you know what I mean? I assume that you take good care of yourself.
Of course, yes.
But it can be, I've had, you know, in the past, I like to shave my head and I've tried to do the same down there and I've had all, it's been a bit ropey. Do you know what I mean?
When
you're using the old shaver and then your head and then you're doing down there and you know what I mean? And you're in a bit of a rush and then you leave the razor on the side and your missus does her legs with it. You don't want to get into all that. But thankfully, with Manscaped, you don't have to do all that because the 4.0 technology keeps you nice and trim. It's got all sorts, mate. It's got everything. It's even got a light.
No cuts and bruises.
Well. No cuts and bruises. Yeah. Keeps you nice and clean. And you've also got, you're not just the shaver, the trimmer. There's fragrance as well. So you can smell nice. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because you like, even if you're not going to sniff it yourself, if someone else is, you want it to smell nice, don't you? Do you know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? It's not somewhere you go, hang on a minute, But if someone gives, you a bit of feedback, you don't want them going, hang on a minute, what's going on there, son? What have you been doing? Do you know what I mean? So, thankfully, Manscaped have got you covered and we've got you covered. There's a link in this description where you get 20% off and free shipping.
I might need to get involved in that. I've been looking for one.
You don't even need a code, right? Because sometimes we give you a code and then it's... mate, people want things instantaneously. We don't want to be typing out codes. Just let us click on a link. All right, then. We can do. So you can click on a link and it's absolutely... this is insane, this technology. The 4.0 ball trimmer. It's for my money, it's the best ball trimmer ever. And I don't say that lightly, trust me. Yeah? But you get 20% off. You get free shipping. It's got a 7,000 RPM motor. And it's got a multifunction on-off switch, yeah? Precision, an LED spotlight. Do you know the amount of times I've had to get the torch out of my phone and use that? It's ridiculous, bro. Honestly, it's a nightmare. I don't have to do that anymore, thanks to the new lawnmower technology with its LED light, with its 7,000 RPM motor, with all that stuff, with the package as well that gives you the fragrances and a bit of toner, so you're well looked after. It's precise, it smells nice, it keeps you clean, it looks after your balls. Yeah, so check out the link in the description and a big, big thanks to Manscaped and their 4.0 technology. Moving on, we've spoken about Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. We've spoken about how, as a fan, you're backing him. The big question was about, are the owners backing him? Are they going to back him? That's what we were all talking about. Me and you were talking about at the back end of last season, weren't we? When we were feeling a bit deflated. And I was chatting to you after the Europa League final. And it was a bit, you know, we're both a bit like, what's going on here? We need more. We need new signings. Now, what I've liked, I still think we're one short, but what I've liked about the signings that we've had this summer is it's not the squad that's been improved. It's the 11.
Yeah.
And we needed that for me.
I feel like there's a very good point you've made, because I think it's been way too long where every season you go in, you look at the Fred summer. I know he's done relatively well at times in patches, and obviously he's got himself in the team right now. But that summer where you felt, we've finished 19 points behind Man City under Jose Mourinho, go out this summer,
for want of a better expression, like, I respect the fact that Jose did, you know, difficult circumstances, we finished second, but it was shit.
Yeah,
it's not a title challenge.
It was bad.
It was like we lost.
It's,
you know,
the Sevilla game. It's the same season.
It was done. Like the title race was over when City beat us at Old Trafford in November. Whenever it was December.
It was December. Yeah.
Like there was no that we were just a distant second throughout the rest of the season.
We didn't sign any.
It didn't feel like a title challenge.
Yeah, exactly. And it just felt it was done. Like that was it by mid-season. And again, no starting players. I think that was the most frustrating summer, I think, for United. Gradually, I think under Oli, it's about what I've liked in terms of our transfer policy. I know we should have got Jadon Sancho last summer. And then this summer, you should have got like, yourself a defensive midfielder, whether it's Declan Rice, maybe someone else. There aren't many in the market that are really going to be perfect for that role. And I think, yeah, we're far behind in terms of that, but we are signing starters, Harry Maguire, Aaron Wan-Bissaka. There are question marks sometimes with like Aaron Wan-Bissaka, but he is a decent starting fullback for a top Premier League side. And if you can get someone up to speed like Delo to challenge him a bit, then you get the same
just
sort of
don't want to interrupt you on your flow there, but where do you stand on Diogo Delo? Because he seems to become flavour of the month for a lot of people. Like they're like, oh, Delo deserves his chance.
I like him.
I just wondered because it's weird with Delo. I think he does offer a lot going forward. I still have question marks about him defensively. For me, he still feels like a bit of a wing back or a winger playing at full back. I don't feel like he is a right
back. I do feel with Diogo Delo, it is a little bit of that.
Yeah.
But what I feel sorry for him in a sense where people have this sort of opinion of Diogo Delo without actually watching enough football for him. And last season, I did watch a fair few amount of like Milan games to tune in and see what he's done. I remember just watching one of the Europa League games. He was playing left back. He looked like Ronaldinho, like slap one bottom bins, like got some unbelievable outside the boot assist. I'm like, I like this.
Yeah.
And then mid-season, sort of not in the team enough at Milan. Towards the end of the season, I seen much better performances. Plays for the Euros, I think was it the under-21s Euros, Portugal. Because I remember it was like live on YouTube, so I was just like watching it, just chilling. And I remember him having really good games, like looked really dominant, like he was taking authority on the ball, bringing the ball forward. I think he got bought in for that Belgium game in the Euros where they got knocked out of Portugal. And where I felt sorry for him in that game is the fact that with Santos, is it the Portugal manager, you can see the instructions were not to get beyond that right side and not to express himself. The issue with United, again, is people not watching him enough, is he's never had two or three games to really say, yeah, I'm going to take this place. Like, I remember reading a message of someone that was chatting to me about him. I know this was like last year, Howie O'Doley had 20 minutes in like three, four games or something like that. And I'm like, it's a joke, man. And you can be as talented as you can, but if you're not getting the fair amount of opportunities, you can't prove yourself. And I feel like it's, again, about resting players. We spoke about this last week or the week before. Same thing with Bruno and Wan-Bissaka as well. There's loads of games to go around. There's cup games, there's European games if you've already bypassed the group. There's times where you need to rest Wan-Bissaka, let Delo have... Maybe if he comes out with a good performance, puts the pressure on Wan-Bissaka, because I feel like Jadon Sancho loves having an attacking right-back. Like, really, like if you watch him and Hakimi, the combinations they had, I think the season they had Inter Milan in the group stage, Dortmund, I think they unlocked them in like the last 10 minutes through like Hakimi just attacking the space, then Jadon Sancho getting a goal. And then the final goal, I think he slipped Hakimi and then they scored. And he always needs his right back to sort of join him in attack to take away the defender. And Wan-Bissaka's got to do that. And he has improved in some of his game. But again, the low Wan-Bissaka is just about giving game time, resting Wan-Bissaka where he can and giving him game time for Delo to prove himself and provide as an option.
Just in the comments here, Jed Loveday says, is Murta, and Fletcher this summer good? I think he's saying that. Are they involved this summer? As far as I know, they're not. I don't think they've been involved in the Sancho or the Varane deals. I think that's sort of, they've already been, I think it's Woodward or whoever has been dealing with those. And I think it's after this summer that Mercer and Fletcher get involved properly in terms of deals or making anything like that. I don't think that's they've had anything to do with that. I think the Sancho deal is obviously in the pipeline for a long time, going back to last summer. United hoping that Dortmund would lower the price. Dortmund wanted 120 million euros, I think it was, 120 million quid, 132 million euros, I think.
United, there was something on United though, having it. What they were doing with, I think when they were meeting the players, was showing them sort of what they're going to be doing at the club and what United can offer them in terms of the project. So apart, I've read something about them getting involved in that side of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Obviously with the transfers talks, I know obviously like Fletcher seemed like a football man, like he really likes the game. We've seen him at Sky, on Sky and whatnot speaking. And yeah, again, it's the whole thing with trusting Ollie, with who he's bringing around him. And you can't doubt him so far. I feel that there's a level of progress with United, and hopefully that, you know, if they are involved, that we continue to do what we're doing next summer.
Yeah, I think they might, you know, like you say, they're involved. Obviously, they're working, they're doing stuff. I don't think they've been involved in the transfers yet, but hopefully that can move forward. We'll start with Jadon Sancho, and then we'll move on to Rafael Varane, because Sancho was obviously the saga that never ended. It was going on from like last summer. At one point, it looked like it was going to get over the line, and then United, I think, for United bid last summer, to be honest with you. I think United were hoping or waiting for a signal from Dortmund they were going to lower the price. Dortmund did we spoke to some experts from Germany, and I think we spoke to Patrick Berger and Florian Plettenberg and a few others last summer, and Christian Falk as well. And the general sort of thinking was with Dortmund that when they weighed it up, it was like, we can afford to get less for Jadon Sancho if we keep him this year. We can afford to get less next year, sorry, if we keep him this year and he helps us get Champions League football, which is exactly what he did. He carried them towards that. I think they finished third in the end, didn't they? Towards the end of the season when he came back from his injury. Also picked up a German Cup as well. So without him there, you know, you can say, well, they could have brought in someone else. Would that have happened? I'm not so sure it would have. So it made sense from their point of view to hold out, because the Champions League can be worth 60, 70 million for him. They then get 73 million quid for him the next summer. And also, I think with Dortmund, they walk this sort of fine line with the young players, because their sort of method of working is they bring in young players, the likes of Jadon Sancho, the likes of Jude Bellingham, the likes of Erling Haaland. They have them for a few years, and then usually they move them on. And they have to keep them happy, and they have to send out a message to other young players as well, that if you can come here, you can be nurtured, you can be successful, and then when you want to move, we'll let you go. Because if you're sending out messages of, you come here, you play for us, and we don't let you go, then other young players are going to think, I don't think Dortmund's a place for me. So they have to get that balance where you're saying, like, yes, we're not going to get our pants pulled down in terms of transfer fees, and we do want good transfer fees, but we're also not going to keep players against their will. So I feel like this summer, everything lined up for Jadon Sancho to move. He'd give him that extra year. They've got Champions League football. They want to send out that message. And also, let's not kid ourselves, 73 million quid isn't, it's not pennies, it's still a decent amount of wedge for that club, who rely on that sort of revenue as well, because they've had a tough time of it in
terms of
COVID.
They're making that money with the Champions League as well, like you said. If they're making that Champions League place, they needed to keep him, essentially. That it was really tight in that top four race in the Bundesliga. So yeah, I think again it's frustrating with the Jadon Sancho thing, how it did take that long, but when you look at the circumstances, you've basically spent 113 mil for Varane and Sancho rather than spend 120 million pounds or whatever.
Sancho. Listen, we can all just add the caveat. We all hate the Glazers and we think they should be spending more of our money, it's ours, not theirs, on transfers. But if there is a budget there that they're saying that's all he's got, you have to face that. If we'd have spent 120 million on Jadon Sancho, we probably wouldn't have got Varane.
Yeah, because we would have had a very, very quiet summer.
And also, we needed, either for me, and you may disagree, I'll ask you now, another CDM or a centre back. You had to do one or the other. Ideally,
I would have said,
you couldn't have done neither.
I would have preferred a defensive midfielder this season,
even with Varane available.
But this is where the thing is: if Varane's available, centre back, everyone admires. And like, when you watch what he's done from the moment he stepped foot in Real Madrid, making his debut against Barcelona, scoring, having big Champions League nights, big nights for France as well in the big competitions, you've just got to go for that opportunity for that price.
Yeah,
and he looks like he wants to be here. Like, it's the same. It's this thing with the whole everything aligning. Like, you're getting big players, but in the past you got your Di Marias and a couple others. Do they really, really want to be here? Like, is Manchester United, they look at it and be like, I want to be winning with Manchester United.
Yeah.
And I never used to get that with all the players we signed. With some of the players right now we signed, it's about, we're close, we're near getting to that Premier League, getting to that Champions League. I want to be part of, you know, taking us there. And I seem to get a better vibe off our current players.
It's such an exciting, when you look at the United team, It's such an exciting team.
Strong team, man.
It's a strong and it's an exciting team. You look at like the players you've got. You've got Bruno Fernandes, who's just numbers are just phenomenal. Just in the, even in your wildest imagination, you I didn't think when he'd come in.
Yeah.
Abdullah, I keep going back to it, but you remember it well. The Burnley game, we lost 2-0.
Yeah, it's horrible.
You know, someone said to me, we're going to buy Bruno Fernandes, he's going to score all these goals, get you all these assists and take you into the Champions League. I told you, you're crazy.
Bruno was someone like around that period I'd known about for like a couple of seasons. I think I remember doing some research for Steve on his channel a couple of years back where he was for the number 10s video. I remember at the time looking at his numbers and he was almost playing like the second striker sort of stuff that he was doing against Leeds that we're seeing on the weekend. But I never thought he'd replicate. I thought, you know, if he brings half of these numbers, that's unbelievable. I didn't think he'd replicate what he was doing at Sporting. And with Bruno, it's the whole like high energy, it's the whole vibe that he brings in terms of, you know, that intensity on the pitch, you know, trying to, like, you know, dying for the ball. You see that with his tackle numbers as well. Always relatively decent for an attacking player when I look at them. And just the whole approach that he has to playing for Manchester United is very, very important to have that across the pitch. Now, I have had issues with Bruno in terms of, like, sometimes his game isn't clean enough. Like, the passes are a bit off. Like, I remember the game at Anfield last season, overhitting the passes. Pogba in the same game as well, too slow on the ball. You can have these games, but I think this is where you bring the balance. When Jadon Sancho, because we were just speaking about Sancho now, like, you bring Jadon Sancho in, you've essentially got three different creators. You got Pogba, I know the first time ball into Bruno, yeah, it was a first time, it was a quick ball, but he doesn't do that enough. Like, he's more someone like, he likes to see the pitch a bit more, like see runners, like see options. You maybe get a bit more of that in international football. Or if you're getting that, you know, deeper in the pitch and a lot more of like the Lindelof position, or if you're picking it up that deep off the centre half. But with Pogba, when you're in the final third, you've got to be quick. And sometimes he can just take a bit of time to find a runner. Then you've got Bruno, who's high risk. He can overhit a ball. He can, but it does come off from time to time. I think Jadon Sancho is a lot cleaner than that. He's more like driving into the area. 50-50, he'll probably lose it on a dribble. But if he doesn't and he gets into the area, we've seen what he's done at Dortmund.
Yeah,
it's just tapping business. Like, he'll just put it across goal.
Do you know what, though? That's what I've been crying out for, Abdullah. That's what I want to see. People taking risks, taking chances, attacking the fullback.
It's the balance, isn't it?
Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't want to see players, you know, I mean, people say, oh, well, you can't compare, but you can compare. The great United players, the great United attackers, you know, have always took risks.
You and lose the ball.
Yeah, you lose the ball because you take risks. I get that. I understand that. And, you know, it's part of the game. But when it does come off, you get a goal out of it.
I think
you know
it's,
I mean?
It's having that across the pitch, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, when we had Marcus Rashford, a lot of the stick that he won before when he was fit, like a lot of the stick that he was getting, even at the best games that he was having, in my opinion, was, oh, he's lost the ball a bit too much. He's done. And I think the issue is because he was the one trying that. Like, if you look at before that back injury, before Bruno had come in, he was getting a lot of stick at the start of that season. Then that middle period where he was just smacking City, Spurs, that, all that, he was taking risks as well as doing that. Like, he was dribbling at players. Like, you've got to have that across the pitch. And I think because he was the only one doing that, and when it didn't come off, you're like, oh, whatever. But then everyone's passing sideways, everyone's doing that. And I think with United now, you've got players that are willing to take risks, but the chances of those risks coming off right now really high because you've got a variety across the pitch. You know, we're talking about one of the best young strikers in Mason Greenwood. You're talking about, you know, a forward who's at 23, has put up incredible numbers in an injured season, 35 plus goals and assists in Marcus Rashford. Talking about Paul Pogba, you know, established himself as one of the best midfielders in Europe. Yes, there's question marks and consistency and whatnot, but still a great player. We've seen that against Leeds. Bruno Fernandes, again, the same thing. So Jadon Sancho, like, Manchester United now look for me ready to go for it. And I think, again, it's the balance of you've got the nice part of it, you've also need those guys to do the dirty work and those guys to be horrible in the team. And I think you got that, man. You got your McTominay's, you got your Freds, you got Harry Maguire's. Even though people have question marks over McTominay and Fred, for example, sometimes you need that balance. You can't just have it all like big names every part of the pitch.
I get that. And, you know, you do need a, you know, like you say, the sort of the ones that did the nitty gritty, the water carriers, for want of a better expression. Yeah. My only sort of worry there is, you know, when you need two of them in there.
Yeah, I don't agree with both starting.
It's a bit much, especially against some of the lower teams. Especially when Marcus comes back, and you've got to find a way to get Marcus, Jadon Sancho, Mason Greenwood, Paul Pogba, Bruno Fernandes, and then McFred in the team. It's too much. Something's got to give. And are you saying, all right, then Marcus or Jack, well, you're not going to drop the Insanity, I don't think. But is Marcus maybe going to have to sit out? Or do you rotate it with someone like Mason? I don't know. Just in the comments, Jed Loveday says, view on Cavani, October Tudman. I'm not sure. Oh, there's an international break, sorry, in October. So he might have to isolate Cavani. Yeah, missing Cavani after the international break. Your thoughts on that? I mean, is that a major concern?
It is a concern because I feel like there's games where you're definitely going to need him to come into this team. We've seen that in the same fixture last season. Was it against Southampton? Comes in on at half-time, bags a couple goals, sets up one. So, yeah, there is a concern, definitely. I think with Marcus Rashford, that's around the time he'll be, coming back. There was stuff going around. I don't know how legit it was about him by the end of September, training in a few weeks. So that could relieve United of the pressure. Because I feel like with Marcus Rashford, a lot of people, if you mention the centre-forward thing, they'll just flip the table and go, no way, like he can't play up front. But, that Leipzig game, Newcastle game away from home when he slipped Bruno Fernandes in, scores a goal.
Those last 5 minutes against Newcastle were amazing.
Yeah, best player in the world. I don't want Bissaka's
goal, mate.
Yeah, he set him up as well, didn't he, Marcus? So I feel like with Marcus Rashford, if Cavani's out due to these situations, he's another option there because...
So you're still not giving up... Well, you're obviously still not giving up on Marcus down the middle.
No, I think he's not. You've got to see him as an option because he's had really good games there. Like, we're talking about the games that just happened last season, where he's supposedly injured. So if you got three elite creators behind him and his job is more getting into those dangerous areas in between the lines and less of the... A lot of the time for him, it's about him carrying the ball and taking on the mantle and then doing a bit too much, in my opinion. But for me, he's got that quality now. He's improved in front of goal a lot more. He's having a lot less chances. Yes, he can miss here and there, but he always gets his head back down and then he's back on it. Brighton last season, Newcastle, those run of games. Liverpool at home, when he got... when he got moved from the right to the left, had one chance that whole game, slotted it away with his left foot. People seem to forget that he can be a very dangerous finisher. And it's that variety, man. It's the headache. Having that headache is really good for United right now.
It reminds me of the sort of the golden era under Fergie, when you had options, when you had players like, obviously we talk about Ole. Ole didn't always start for Manchester United. He was a sub. He's obviously subbing the Champions League final. Teddy Sheringham was subbing the Champions
played
League final.
Played right and left sometimes.
Yeah, played on the right wing. Yeah. I think I remember seeing him play there a few times, especially in the 2002, 2003 season. Nicky Butt didn't always start. Nicky Butt's a club legend. Didn't he always start the games when everyone was fit? Same with Darren Fletcher, Ji-Sung Park. You had these players.
You had Berbatov, Tevez, Ronaldo, Rooney at once. And Berbatov was like no joke at the time.
That's what I mean, mate. People forget that. Nani wasn't a first teamer for a big chunk of his time at United.
You look at the City team, if we're looking at current football, those options when they had Sané, Sterling, bring in Mahrez and whatnot, and you have Bernardo Silva. You need these options, and I think you need players to push each other to improve their game and take it to the next level. And I think we've seen that with Alex Telles and the Luke Shaw situation, didn't we?
Someone's saying here about Martial, asking about Martial. Let's talk about, because I think they're a bit upset that we're talking about Rashford and not Andy Martial. Martial, just touching on that. I mean, obviously, we've raved about Martial for quite a while on this channel, especially you have as well. He didn't have a great season last season. There's no point in sugarcoating it, but still feel there's a player there that can do a job for Manchester United.
I feel like with Martial, it's a bit of a weird one with him because there was that post-lockdown form where he just coming in, you're like, this is it. This is Martial. Now, this is.
Do you know what was great about that as well? Is Bruno Pogba. Pogba came back obviously from injury. Bruno was flying, and then you had Martial just banging him in. He obviously got his hat trick against Sheffield United. Just looked on fire. Do you know what I mean? He sort of picks up a bit of the slack as well because before the lockdown, it had all been about Marcus. Then Marcus's form, his goal scoring form, tailed off a little bit. Martial was just flying. I think he ended up the season with 23 goals, which is obviously a good return. I thought
17 non-penalty goals. I think
that's amazing. That I thought next season he's going to kick on and get even more as he gets a little.
I thought that was it. I thought something had clicked.
It just didn't quite happen, did it?
I thought that was it. It clicked for him. And the reason, obviously, I'm not mentioning that it actually did slip my mind, talking about him, is because I feel I'm currently a bit worried with the situation. I think he might. If we look at this Everton game in pre-season, he comes out with the ball, and then you're just usually he can, beat the man there. And on the dribble, he just looks so slow, so sluggish. So whether it's with this groin injury that came back a couple of times, that's affected him, it's changed him. I don't feel like in this current setup, he really gets in ahead of Mason. And I feel like if you've got Cavani coming back, you've got Marcus coming back, he's got to get that. He's got to get himself up to that fitness again, up to the level again that he was that post-lockdown. And he's getting onto that age now. I think players can blow up at a certain period in their career. And that's why I'm always like, you know, with players giving them enough of a chance. But was he 25 now, Martial?
Yeah, I think he is 25. I mean, he's not...
He's not old. And like I said, he can find himself again. But again, there's no indication for me that he will get back on that. I think until you show me that indication, I can go then.
Do you know what I was thinking with Martial? Do you know when Sanchez came in? And I remember, I can't remember if it was you or did it. I think it was Webber. Did the radio show that we used to do, you know, over at XS. We were shooting the phone in and that. And I spoke about Anthony Martial and I said, he's got to force his way back in his team. That's how you do it. You make it sort of, you make yourself undroppable. Because no matter what, this is when Jose was manager, Jose Mourinho will want to win football matches. And if he thinks he's got a better chance of winning them with you playing over Alexis Sanchez, he'll pick you. And Martial did that. He forced his way back in with his performances, got himself back into the team, and then got himself as the number nine. Because Ollie was looked at him and gone, you know what? Lukaku's gone, but I don't fancy him. You're my man. And that's what maybe needs to do again. He's got to force it, because I think if everyone's fit, I don't think Anthony Martial starts. I just don't think Ollie does pick him. I think the likes of Mason Greenwood, Ennis and Cavani down the middle are probably ahead of him in the pecking order. On the left, I think if everyone's fit, either Paul Pogba or Marcus Rashford is probably preferred. And I think on the right, it's now Jadon Sancho.
I think it's the issue with Martial is you've got a section of fans who... Like, I like the guy when he stormed onto the scene with United and I wanted him to do well and I was a fan of him in that period, but you've got to get real sometimes. And I feel like I always support him, Owen. I want him to do well. I think he's got a level of talent, but you've got to go when you've got this, when you get any opportunity right now, you've got to go and take it.
Yeah, that's what I was saying to you. And he gets chances.
There's no indication of that for me.
He's got to take
it. Now, there isn't an indication that he's going to go out there and absolutely boss it. Like, a couple of dribbles here and there are not going to cut it, I think, at United. And I mean, the same goes to everyone on that pitch, like, regardless, whether it's Martial, Sancho, Marcus Rashford, Mason Greenwood, I want to see goals. And I feel it's about keeping the same energy,
One people we've got to remember, though, with competition out of places, everyone's got to step up. Marcus, when he comes back from his injury, if United are flying, he's got to fight his way back.
But the thing is with Marcus, for example, like, it's again, he's got to fight, like I said, everyone's involved, but he had 35 plus goals and assists. And I think that section of fans last season, if Martial replicated, did the same thing with injuries, with all the stuff and around, like, people would be shoving that down like Marcus throat. Oh, he's rubbish, he's this, he's that. And I think it's about keeping the same energy. And that's what I dislike about some of our fans. Yeah. Like, everyone has their, like, player that their favourite player. Like, there's no hiding it. Like, Marcus Rashford is one of my favourite players. I think he's got an unbelievable future.
A man who loves you the way that Abdullah loves Marcus Rashford, and I'm all about him. I've got Marcus is probably my favourite player, to be honest.
I know Martial FC are just going to absolutely murder me.
No, I think you can have like...
I've had death threats.
I like to have a news debate, and I like Tony M. Listen, anyone who scores against the Scousers on his debut gets my vote
love
for the rest of his life. I'm not going to lie to you.
His fan base are just...
One of my best moments post-Fergie has been, you know, you look at the Everton semi-final. It's fantastic.
Oh, that was unbelievable.
But we do, you know... You can't just live off past glories. You have to keep going. You have to keep producing the numbers. And if you've got a season where you score four Premier League goals,
he has to give me something.
You have to kick on, man. You can't
just
be going
six games.
Well, look what I did a few years ago, and that'd be the same. If Marcus had four Premier League goals last season, I'd be saying the same about him. You know, if we're gonna have a title challenge, we need players to step up. Ivy says, "What do you think of Donny van der Beek's future?"
I think it's a difficult one, man. Like, again, we've spoken about. On the pitch for United, you're not always going to get in ahead of like your Paul Pogba's and whatnot in midfield. I think I could see him like coming into this midfield too, and forcing himself in there. You know, with the level of fitness that supposedly he's getting himself to. You know, training in the gym and whatnot, getting physically ready for how the Premier League really is. For example, if going away to Southampton, do you need a Fred and McTominay? Could we see him coming into that type of game? And for me, if he can't get into the team in that sort of game where it's not high energy, where they don't overload the midfield the way Leeds do and they're not in your face as much and you can settle on the ball a bit more, if if you can't get into
was
the
it,
team,
yeah, it was Southampton play last season, wasn't it?
And he had a good game.
He did have a good game. I think that was probably his best game in United. Sure,
he played in the diamond. I think that and the Istanbul at home when he played in a pivot. Yeah. And they're both in a pivot. Like they're both in the defensive midfield area. And I think he was in a diamond in that Southampton game. But again, I think that's the only way where I can see Donny come in. If he can play 15 to 20 games a season and make a difference, then he can be part of a, you know, a successful United squad, hopefully. And that will show, you know, you're getting a player who was fantastic in a Champions League run for Ajax, having a run of games, you know, 15 to 20. That means you've got quality ahead of him and you're not just forcing him to the team every time. But we'll have to assess it at the end of the season. You know? Like I said, this one's a big one on the weekend in terms of assessing the Donny van de Beek situation. Because if you can't get into the team when this is the type of game you're playing, then, you know, when are you going to play, really?
I know, this is the thing with Donny van de Beek. It's a weird one because, you know, he didn't get on in at all. He didn't get off the bench in the Europa League final, the biggest game there, the one where you want to win a trophy. He didn't feature. At the weekend, I thought he might get on against Leeds. He didn't. He did play against Burnley, in the midweek behind closed doors game, which I managed to get a little bit of a snippet of. And it looked like he was getting stuck in. Do you know what I mean? It was a physical game, but he was getting stuck right in there. And that's maybe what there's been a little bit of question marks about it. Does he have the physicality for the Premier League? But I think he has added that a little bit to his game. That's not the be all and end all. You don't just do weights and then you're good enough to play for Manchester United. But
if you've got the ball quality, yeah, and you have
and
that,
yeah, exactly. That's
story,
my point. Baggers, you put something on the screen before, didn't you, about players that are going to miss the. We were talking earlier about the international break. And I think it's some of the South American players in the Premier League could end up missing out. Talk about maybe Edinson Cavani could be one of those that misses out. And we know there's obviously, you know, a lot of the teams in the Premier League now, especially near the top end of the Premier League, have players playing internationally in South America. So if you look at it, you've got, I'm just reading this off the screen. Sorry, can you make that bigger or whatever? So I can just read it all and just scroll down a little bit. So you got. I mean, looking at the ones that matter, Chelsea could miss Thiago Silva, Leeds could miss Rafinha, Liverpool could miss Alisson, Firmino. Wow. City could miss Jesus and Edison. We could obviously miss Fred and Cavani. Spurs and
they're like World Cup qualifiers. These.
What is this? Is this it? Yeah,
and that's a problem, isn't it?
Oh, United and Liverpool, they could miss that. So Liverpool miss Fabinho and Alisson, and we miss Cavani.
And it's making the World Cup, isn't it? Like, the, you know, it's like how the country fans are going to react to it. Like, how's everyone, you know, internationally going to react to it? You know, everyone from Brazil, like, they're not turning up for international games when we're trying to go for the, qualify for the World Cup. The same goes across all those players. One thing we didn't mention was that Liverpool have, you know, Sadio Mane, Salah going, is it the African Cup of Nations in Jan? I'm pretty sure it is this year.
Right.
Because
that
is huge.
Let me double
for the
check
title
that.
Race.
African Cup of Nations 2022, is it in
that
January?
That could be huge. That could be massive.
Yeah, so, yeah, in January, race. You've got that. I mean, it almost goes under the radar a little bit, I think, Liverpool, how important their attackers are. Because everyone was just mad on Van Dijk
watch,
and when he got
watch
injured.
Watch Salah like last week. Like,
and it's just like, you're guaranteed with them lot to get 50, 60 goals a season out of them. You're always going to be have a good chance of a title challenge when you've got those sort of numbers from your attackers.
I think this could be Salah's best. Like, he might have not had his best season yet. You know, he's entering his prime. I think he's 29.
Pains me to say that. Here's a good question for you.
It's going to be
from
difficult.
AGIL. He says, Lindelof, CDM. This one keeps coming up. I keep getting asked this a lot on live videos that we're on.
No. I said this, I think, like a couple of years ago.
Just to play devil's advocate, the reason people say this about Victor Lindelof is he can pick a pass out. He did it for Bruno's hat trick.
But
his third goal was a fantastic pass.
That's because of where he plays. Like, I actually really like Victor Lindelof. Like, we've spoken about this the last couple of seasons. He's probably the best third option you can have.
John Shin in the comments says, Phil Jones, CDM, you heard it here first.
He was
good. I don't know what time it is in New York, John, but if he started drinking.
He was good there in 2013.
No disrespect to Phil Jones,
though,
he gets a lot of stick, but come on, let's be realistic. Go on, sorry.
He had the worldie at the Bernabeu in 2013.
Phil Jones?
Yeah.
He did.
Yeah, him and Michael Carrick really holding it down.
Didn't he get, I think he injured himself in between the return, like, didn't he, as well?
Yeah, he didn't play in the second. Yeah. I mean, it was Tom Cleverley and someone else. And
who'd have thunk it, eh? We're actually looking at the loss of Phil Jones as the reason that we didn't get past Real Madrid. And that awful decision by the referee, man. I've still not got over that. The nanny sending off. Disgusting.
That was emotional.
Should be ashamed of yourself.
Yeah, in terms of the Lindelof thing, I just think... This is including Laporte, by the way. I think United have the best third-option centre-back in the league. Over the last couple of seasons, I would have preferred, as mad as it sounds, like Lindelof over Laporte. Because when Laporte's come in, he stank up the show when I've watched City recently. Right, and I think when you look at these passes last season, Marcus Rashford twice, you had the Sheffield game, you had the Granada game, where he just splits the defence, and we were in difficult situations in those games. I think it was 1-1, and the other one was 0-0. And both times, Marcus gets onto it, bags it. Lindelof, unbelievable. Ball over
great
the top.
Great little passes over the top.
Same with the Bruno one. I was just watching like the All Access thing on United's YouTube before I'd come here, and I'd just seen the angle from behind. The reason that happens, though, is because he has so much time in that area of the pitch. In midfield, you've got to be more than just a passer. And are you going to get the same opportunities in terms of the time to pick that pass out, because teams are going to leave their striker up there. You're not going to get, if you're not playing a proper press inside, or the game's died out a bit and his centre-back's getting a lot more time to progress, if they got the quality that Lindelof does with a pass, or Maguire as well, like with the ball carrying, you will get opportunities from your centre-half. But can Lindelof do that in midfield? I don't think so, because midfield's more than just a passing. You got to be combative, you got to have that high energy, that intensity. And I just think people just get it off the whole passing thing, innit? Like, because he can pass.
Yeah.
But you're not going to get the same.
I think it'd be a massive gamble and shock if Ollie all of a sudden went, right, we're going to start playing Victor Lindelof as our CDM, or even gave him a chance. I don't see it happening, to be honest with you. Abdullah, before we wrap up, just tell people what you've been up to, because you've got a few things going on, haven't you?
Yeah, so I just started a channel called Pure Ball. It's general football.
Pure Ball or Pure Ball?
No, Pure Ball.
Pure Ball.
Pure okay. Ball.
You better say Pure. You're a man, no, can't you? Pure Ball.
Pure Ball.
right, go on. Pure Ball.
Yeah, so we've got Pure Ball. Just me and a couple of friends just starting it up. Just obviously getting in front of the camera. For, you know, to be fair, after the first video coming back, a few people like where you're at and stuff like that. So I thought, you know, it was a bit of a push to get some content out there. And got Joe McGrath, hopefully, you know, going to be doing a podcast together with him as well, and get some of the regulars on here as well. And then
I was about to say, like, you've asked Joe McGrath, but you know, I must have missed the text where you said, Jay, do you want to come on Pure Ball with me?
Like, your wages are too high, Jay.
Wages, we all know that I don't have any wages, so that's a lie for starters. And certainly not compared to Joe, radio-friendly McGrath, eh? Tell you what, his invoice comes in 4 envelopes. Hey, so it's all right if you don't want me.
No, don't, you, mate. You were like the first guest on the list.
Awesome. Yeah, reinvites in the post. So where can people find this?
So yeah, if you just search Pure Ball on YouTube, it'll start the first channel that pops up.
Or hit up with the name, then, mate.
Yeah.
Hey?
No one's got that name.
Yeah, go and check it out. We'll try and find it. We'll try and get a link in the world. We'll get a link in the description.
I'll fire a text to Alex,
and we'll do a little tweet as well. We'll put a link in the tweet so you can go and check out Pure Ball.
With loads to come this season, though. Like, I'm gonna be on Paddock every week.
Right, you are, whether you want it or not, mate. Coming on here banging on about Joe McGrath and Pure Ball, you can come and talk to us about football. Yeah, so make sure you're checking out Abdullah at Pure Ball. And talking of Pure Balls, you can look after your balls with Manscaped, keep them pure with the 4.0 technology. There's a link in the description. They get 20% off. Terms and conditions apply, and you get free shipping. So a big thank you to Manscaped for sponsoring this show. Abdul will be back soon. I'll be back as well. Make sure you're checking out all the other videos on the channel. We've got that video I spoke about earlier where, you know, with your missing a bit of your United fix, you can go and check out the behind the scenes or the behind closed doors game. Burnley, we were there for that one. We'll also have the preview coming up for the Southampton game, and we'll have transfer view over the weekend. And then this weekend, it's United versus Southampton, or Southampton versus United, if you want to get technical. So we'll have the watch along and the fan cams and all that stuff from there. So make sure you are hitting subscribe. Get us to 600,000 subscribers. We're almost there. We're just a few hundred away, so hopefully we'll do it over this weekend. That's been Abdullah, I've been Jay Moyer. This has been Housen's Brew, who will be back. He's not gone forever. Thanks for watching. Sports Social Podcast Network.